One more guest here for this Tuesday 2-hour March Madness extravaganza. That is professional handicapper Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com. Brad, how's it going today, brother?
Matt's going well. How are you doing on this fine Tuesday?
Doing very well, buddy. Appreciate the time as always. And I know you and I had a rather spirited Twitter DM conversation today as we start with college football, as we almost always do on our segments here with Brad Powers. You know, we talked about BetOnline putting up college football season win totals during conference tournaments. So they doubled down, maybe even tripled down, I guess we could say, by putting up games of the year lines the week of March Madness.
Yeah, and look, it's not ideal for a sharper guy like myself, because, I mean, I'm going to tie my money up with basketball at this point in the season. I mean, there's just – I want better, ROI on my investment. I don't need an offshore book holding my money up this time of year for 6 months on some, I would say, very soft numbers here when it comes to Game of the Year lines. But, you know, now that I'm thinking through it, it maybe makes sense, because let's face it, the NCAA tournament's so big, they're going to have so many probably new customers, you know, betting and using their website. I mean, the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament, at least here in Vegas, and there's more handle in the first 4 days than there is on the Super Bowl. So I guess I get it from that aspect. They're going to have new people signing up. They'll get excited for college football. They'll hold their money for 6-7 months. I guess from that aspect, I get it, but it certainly hurts sharper guys in the marketplace to see lines put up like this. And, you know, obviously the numbers that are wrong are going to get corrected here within a day or two.
Yeah, and right now we're looking at $500 limits on these. The first one listed, August 24th, Florida and Miami, Florida. You know, they got that big week zero game this year, which, again, every effing season, starting earlier and earlier, it feels like. Major League Baseball starting tomorrow, which obviously, you know, has a lot of bearing for me. But in any event, any that you felt like were egregiously off, any teams where it looks like they just don't have a great handle for them so far?
Yeah, I mean, first off, Florida-Miami, they moved it up because they're going to celebrate the 150th year of college football. So I love that they did that and moved a big game. And there's a couple other games that have been moved up to that weekend. So I'm happy from that aspect. I wish they'd start August 1st, to be perfectly honest. You know, there's a few. I think Michigan, generally speaking, is overrated. I mean, the Wolverines laying 6 on the road to Wisconsin. You know, they were laying, you know, nearly a touchdown on the road against Penn State. That line's moved a little bit. More than a touchdown at home against Notre Dame. Nearly a full 7 points against the Buckeyes at home. I think Michigan, they have power rated a few, I would say at least 3 points too high. Those lines are moving a little bit there, but I thought there was a couple of egregious errors. They just have Texas, you know, way too low. And look, this is why it really ticks me off that they did something like this. I mean, for example, LSU opened a 7-point road favorite at Texas. That's down to 3. That number was bet down on the Texas side here. You know, Texas, again, in the Oklahoma game, was listed as a 13.5-point underdog against Oklahoma. That's egregious. I mean, Texas has owned the Sooners, covering 6 of the last 7 here and getting a double-digit point spread. That was way too much in that regard. And that line started to move down. Although, honestly, I'm trying to define that line. I'm not sure. Maybe they took it off the board already. That's pathetic, to say the least. And then, you know, there's another 5-point line move, my lock, and I tweeted this out when within the first, you know, 2 minutes of them opening up the lines. Texas was, what, a 3-point home favorite against Texas Tech? That's already up to 8, Adam. So, yeah, these lines have been worked over quite well. If there's one game left, and I'm just scrolling down through it with updated lines, that's still offering some value. I think, you know, Michigan State against Arizona State, I'll take Michigan State minus 5.5. They have revenge for losing to Arizona State in the desert last year. Arizona State doesn't know what they're going to do at the quarterback spot. Might, you know, go with a true freshman. That would be his first road start. You know, Michigan State's experienced off a down season. Michigan State still right now at minus 5.5. That looks pretty good to me. And it's not a later season game. I mean, it's September the 14th, so, you know, you don't have to tie your money up for an extra month or two. Michigan State minus 5.5. That'll be your premium best bet here as far as this particular spot goes.
Well, and again, even for those that don't have an account over there, those that don't have access to something like that, at least still good to get a frame of reference for what we're looking at with these teams here as we look ahead to the college football season. But all right, let's transition back to college basketball here. And you and I are going to talk about the West region for the NCAA tournament in a minute. But overall, general college basketball postseason tournament betting tips, whether it's NCAA tournament, CBI, NIT, CIT, what is Brad Powers looking to do at this time of the year?
To be perfectly frank, I have some of my stronger plays in the NIT, CBI, and CIT tournaments. You just got unique situations. You get the, and we've seen it already, you get, you know, the unique factor where some teams just don't care. Other teams are excited to be there. I mean, you don't get that too often in college hoops. It's similar to you know, it's starting to become similar to the college football bowl season. And then we've kind of seen that, you know, today with Arkansas's best player, Daniel Gafford. He's a really good player, going to be a first-round pick in the NBA draft. He said, forget it, I'm sitting out the postseason. No NIT game for me. He's going to get ready for the NBA draft. So to me, that signifies that Arkansas probably doesn't want to be there. Unique trip to Providence. You get situational spots like that in the NIT, CBI, and CIT that you're just not going to see in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, it's not popular, but, I mean, if you want to, you know, bet for a living, you want more positive EV bets out there, then I would say take a look at some of the NIT, CBI, and CIT matches. Be more than worth your while because, I mean, the entire world is betting on the NCAA tournament. And at least generally speaking, a lot of those lines should be the sharpest we've seen all season.
Well, and again, this is the thing here that we've been talking about on the show all day, that the NIT, CBI, and CIT offer more value. And we're not trying to downplay March Madness. Everybody loves March Madness. It's a fantastic time of year. But again, as Brad just said there and said it perfectly, if you want to make money, if your goal is to make money and have better edges with your plays, it's in the other three tournaments. If you want to play March Madness, by all means, do it. If you feel like you find a really good edge, by all means, play it. But the better edges are in those other tournaments, even if the matchups aren't as sexy.
No question about it. And we're also, I mean, if you count the four play-in games, I mean, there's 67 games left as far as the NCAA tournament. Put that in perspective, a college basketball regular Saturday in February, 100-plus games, like 120 games to offer. So twice as many games on a regular college basketball Saturday than what's left in the entire NCAA tournament. So keep that in your back pocket as far as the value aspect. And for the most part, I mean, everyone's trying to win in the NCAA tournament, so motivation, it doesn't come into it. I mean, it probably comes into it a little bit in the early rounds with some of the big-time favorites, whether they want to extend margin or not. You know, keep the foot on the gas pedal, or you know, put away the starters and get ready for the next round. You know, other than that, I mean, you just don't have motivational issues. Everyone's trying to win to cut down the nets when it's all said and done. NIT, CBI, CIT, you get, you know, teams that again, that could care less about being there. Sometimes, you know, one of the betting philosophies I use, you know, who are a couple of the teams that were, you know, just left out as far as the NCAA goes. A lot of times those teams are, you know, feeling sorry about themselves for the last couple of days, thinking, hey, we should have been in the NCAA tournament, when the reality is that they need to get ready on a short, quick turnaround and get ready for an opponent that, you know, on a Tuesday night. So a lot of times that's tough for some of them favorites there. Just so many different betting, you know, little tidbits that you can use to your advantage, and you're right, Adam. Much more profitable, not guaranteeing any profits. I mean, they call it gambling, not winning, for a reason, but certainly a lot more positive EV bets in the NIT, CBI, and CIT.
All right, so we take a look at the West region, and we'll work in some of those concepts here as we talk about these games specifically. The first four game tonight, Prairie View A&M, Fairleigh Dickinson in Dayton. The winner has a quick turnaround from Dayton to Salt Lake City to play in altitude against Gonzaga. Gonzaga will be a substantial favorite in that one. But the 8-9 game is interesting because if I'm Gonzaga, I know that there's one team I'm rooting for in that 8-9 game, and it's not the one that's the favorite.
Oh, yep, I was waiting to see what you were going to say there. You don't want to see the 2-3 zone. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Syracuse taken out Gonzaga a time or two in the NCAA tournament here in the last 5-6 years. So, yeah, I would definitely think that, they'd be rooting on Baylor in that game just because Syracuse gives you so many different, looks that you just don't see as far as a game-in and game-out basis. And also, I mean, the Orange are the tallest team in the country. So, that makes that 2-3 zone so effective is their length that a lot of teams can't handle. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. That'd be a really tough second-round matchup for Gonzaga, and I think that will be the matchup. I lean with Syracuse over Baylor for a lot of those reasons. I mean, Baylor's just been too inconsistent. They've been dealing with some injuries. Mekhi Mason, their best player, at least their best, quote-unquote player that's available right now for them, has really struggled down the stretch. It looks like, Tyus Battle, the Syracuse guard that sat out the ACC tournament, he's going to give it a go here. Yeah, I like the Orange there minus the points.
All right, so with that in mind here, as we kind of project out, this is something I didn't get the chance to do. I didn't really budget my time, I guess, as well as I could have with some of these segments today. What does the Gonzaga line look like against Syracuse? Given that there is a history, given that Syracuse gets some preferential treatment here from the betting public in this tournament because they've made some runs, let's say it is Syracuse for argument's sake. What does that line look like to you, do you think, in the second round?
Probably 10. I think a pure power rating I have is maybe 13. That's a little steep. I think I'm a little higher on Gonzaga than most. I'd shade that down probably to about 10. And, at 10, I'd probably lean Syracuse here. But I'll say this. Gonzaga's not been 100% fully healthy here. And I think, the fact that the Zags lost their last game to St. Mary's, I think some people are down on them a little bit. So, yeah, I think 10 would be a fair number. And I'd look towards the dog there more than anything, but I'm not sure, I'd be running to a window to bet the Orange in that one because I think a lot of people would. I think I'd wait and see how far that line get bet down and maybe take a little bit on the other side of it. But, that'll be a relatively tough matchup for the Zags. But, when the Zags are fully healthy, and they weren't even fully healthy when they beat Duke earlier this year, offensively they're so damn efficient. That'd be a tough one there. If they're hitting their shots on the zone, that could be blowout city.
Mid-afternoon game, early evening game, whatever you want to call it, in Hartford, the 5-12 between Marquette and Murray State. Marquette, 4.5-point favorite there in that one. Everybody likes to look for that 12-over-5 game. I think people believe that it happens more often than it actually does. I think the 5 seed, I believe, is 89-47 in that 5-12 game. So doesn't happen as often as you think it would. But Marquette feels like the kind of team people want to go against here.
Well, yeah, Marquette, because for a lot of reasons, number one, they really struggled down the stretch. And part of that, at least the eye test to me says that Marquette's best player, Marcus Howard, who had a very high usage rate. He just looks like he's wearing down towards the end of the season. So I get that. And everyone's going to love the matchup between Ja Morant and Marcus Howard, probably the matchup as far as player on player in the entire first round of the NCAA tournament. It just Howard didn't look 100% down the stretch, so I guess advantage Murray State there. But, again, it's pricing the number. I mean, if you want to bet the 5, you don't want to bet the 12, Murray State catching 4 here. I got to think 10, 15 years ago, Murray State's probably catching 6 or 7. You're right. A lot of the people love the 12s over 5s, although, you had a run there, 4 or 5 years where the 12s were doing really well. I think the last couple of years, we've had maybe one 12 seed win. So it hasn't been, a slam dunk, a 12 over a 5, at least in the last couple of years like it was for a good stretch there. Right now, the number's 4, 4.5. I would lean with Murray State, but I'm not running to the window to bet it. I think the number's pretty tight, at least according to my power ratings.
All right, so the earlier game there in that Hartford pod in the West region is Florida State taking on Vermont. Here's one where Vermont, a team that usually winds up having a really good regular season, either trips up in the conference tournament or doesn't make a whole lot of noise in the NCAA tournament, and they're getting double digits here against Florida State.
Yeah, I like Florida State a lot. I think the Noles can make a Final Four run, but I don't think the committee did them any favors here in the first round. Vermont playing relatively close to home in Hartford. I mean, the crowd support will be fully behind Vermont in this game. So, and the early money's on Vermont. But, I mean, Florida State's so deep. I mean, they're inconsistent, the Noles are offensively, but they just throw waves and waves of players at you. I mean, they have 11 players that average more than 10 minutes per game. So, you know, unlike most teams that make deep runs in the conference tournament, I'm not necessarily that worried about the Noles because they're so deep. I get it. They went max effort to win in overtime over Virginia Tech, beat upset Virginia, and played, you know, Duke really well until the final couple minutes in the ACC championship game. Not a great spot. I think Vermont's, you know, especially live first half. I worry if they get worn down a little bit in the second half. But, yeah, I think my favorite play would probably be Vermont plus the points in the first half. And we'll see if this line continues to cater. I mean, when it's all said and done, I might actually be leaning to Florida State.
So is that something you do look to utilize quite a bit here, some derivative stuff in terms of, you know, you mentioned why you think Vermont could be live in the first half, maybe teams that, you know, play a buzzer beater thriller, fade them in the second half of the next game. Is that more of your approach for the NCAA tournament than, you know, compared to the other ones?
Yeah, no question about it. More derivative. You got to get creative because I think generally speaking that the lines are relatively sharp, unless I'm just going contrarian with the public, then I'm paying, you know, getting some cheap lines. But on the whole, I think that, you know, your best value bets are derivative bets. And, you know, just generally speaking, I mean, how often do you see, you know, these games that are really tight first half, slower tempo, every possession matters. You're looking up at the, you know, the scores across the top of the screen, and how many times are you seeing a big dog, you know, really being in it early in the game, you know, 15, 20 minutes in, and a double-digit dog is only trailing by three or so at halftime. So, you know, a lot of times they get in trouble in the second half. So a lot of times I'm seeing myself, you know, taking some dogs in the first half because – you know, the lines just aren't cheap. I want to take dogs, more dogs than favorites. The problem is, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, it seems like, and not only sharps, but, you know, even the sharper squares are doing the same thing.
All right, so we move to the Tulsa pod here in the West region, and Buffalo has to wait to find out who they'll play. They'll find that out tomorrow night with the winner of Arizona State and St. John's. I guess let's go ahead and start with that. We haven't talked too much about the play-in games here on today's show, but St. John's 1.5-point dog here in Dayton to Arizona State, total in the mid-150s. Do you have a lean in that game?
You know, I like Arizona State and I bet Arizona State here. I think you have a unique, you know, that's not getting properly priced in the marketplace. And it's just quite simply, Arizona State was played in a first four play-in game last year. I mean, these games in Dayton are so unique as far as travel, rest, and getting ready for it. I like the fact that just last season Arizona State played, and they got beat by Syracuse, but it wasn't a bad performance by any stretch of the imagination. I think they lost by four there. So I think that's a major advantage. I mean, if you look at the offensive and defensive rebounding percentages, Arizona State clearly a superior team. I expect the Sun Devils to dominate the boards. And generally speaking, I think St. John is overrated. Why? I mean, the Johnnies played one of the weakest non-conference schedules in the entire country. I think it's like number 327 on KenPom. And what did St. John's do? Well, you know, kudos. They took care of business. They went 12-0 in non-conference, taking advantage of that weak slate. Once they hit conference play, you know, an average Big East. I think that it's a very well-balanced Big East, but not a lot of, you know, superior top 10, top 15 caliber teams. St. John's had a losing record after that 12-0 start. And give me Arizona State. I think people are dogging the Pac-12 a little bit too much here. I like the Sun Devils minus the 1.5.
Well, and then what's going to be interesting, as Brian Blessing mentioned in our first segment today, if Arizona State wins that game, you've got, you know, teacher versus student with Nate Oates and Bobby Hurley. So that's a really intriguing storyline for the 6-11 game in Tulsa.
It certainly is. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, Buffalo will come out favorite. It'll be interesting to see how big of a favorite. Maybe, you know, I'm expecting maybe five or so there. It'll be a tough return spot as far as travel goes for Arizona State because they didn't get that last year. And I think I'd be more inclined to lean with student over teacher there. The Bulls are really good. I mean, from a regular season aspect, Buffalo had one of the greatest regular seasons of any team in MAC history, probably back to the 60s when Bowling Green was really good.
All right, so let's look at Texas Tech and Northern Kentucky. And, you know, Texas Tech made a very nice run last year for Chris Beard, bowed out very early in the Big 12 Conference Championship, which I think a lot of people were surprised about. They take on Northern Kentucky here. Northern Kentucky, the winner from the Horizon League. This is kind of an intriguing one to me because I feel like, and as of course we saw with Virginia last year against UMBC, these teams that play really slowly can have some issues in some of these first-round games against teams that they are clearly better than. I don't know if Texas Tech falls under that umbrella here because I don't know how good Northern Kentucky is, but it's just always something that's in the back of my mind in these types of 3-14 games.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, just, you know, talking about it, you know, Tech, why is it tough to lay a lot of points when a team's going slower tempo? Because fewer possessions, fewer opportunities to extend margin. You know, Northern Kentucky, as far as tempo, is pretty average. Texas Tech below average. And offensively, Texas Tech, you know, closed the season a little bit stronger than what they did at the start. I mean, they were really having some significant problems early on the season, covering some spreads as a favorite to get margin. The offense improved, but you're right, had a, you know, a head scratcher of a loss in the Big 12 tournament. Extra rest here for a team that went to the Elite Eight a year ago. If push comes to shove here, I don't have a strong take, but I would lean with Northern Kentucky here plus the 14. My power ratings have it pretty much close to the number, but when push comes to shove, I'd rather be on the take here than laying it.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, Northern Kentucky getting two touchdowns here in this game, and Texas Tech could very easily suffocate them, hold them to, you know, the high 40s, low 50s, and not have to do a whole lot offensively to cover this number, but that's always an interesting thing to me. These teams that bow out early in the conference tournament, a lot of people may kind of be like, well, maybe they're not that good. Maybe I want to fade them. I don't know, man. I think the rest is a good thing for a lot of these teams that already know they're a high seed. Not to say that Chris Beard punted that game by any means, but it's hard to find explanations for, you know, Texas Tech losing that badly to a West Virginia team that's, what, hosting games in the CBI this year?
Yeah, they bought themselves. They paid the 50 G's to get into that tournament with a losing record. So, I mean, that's an interesting take there. Maybe West Virginia is trying to go for the throat and get a tournament because by far as power rating goes, even though they have a losing record, they're the best team in that tournament. Just another unique tidbit there, why I love handicapping the smaller tournaments. But you're right. You know, I don't look at it as a negative, really, that they bowed out against West Virginia. In fact, I mean, that's an attention getter if I'm a head coach. I mean, then to me, and that's why I'm not all in on Northern Kentucky. I just lean. I don't like it. I'm not going to bet it. It's because I think you can get a much more laser-focused Texas Tech team. A Texas Tech team that really, you know, since the start of February, I mean, their only non-covers was, you know, a questionable motivational spot against Oklahoma State at home and that West Virginia game. Other than that, I mean, they were crushing teams in their last 10-11 games. So that would be my worry here. And another derivative bet, if you're looking towards the dog, this is another one where I'd look for Northern Kentucky in the first half, and because I'm worried about that, you know, Texas Tech number one defense in the country putting the stranglehold almost like a boa constrictor and squeezing the life out of Northern Kentucky in the second half. So if you're going to look towards the dog, I think first half is your more positive EV bet.
All right, so we head out to Des Moines here for the bottom of the West region bracket. Nevada and Florida. Nevada's down to a 2-point favorite, and I kind of got some alarm bells ringing in my head about this game.
Oh, it'd be interesting. I'm anxious to hear your take. I'm going to take Florida to win the game. Believe it or not, Florida at number 30 in KenPom's ratings is the best team Nevada's played all season. The best team, number 30 in the country. I think it might be a little bit of a culture shock for Nevada. Look, the Wolfpack made the deep run last year, but very fortunate to do so. Some significant come-from-behind wins against Texas and Cincinnati got them there. It's a very maddeningly inconsistent team. Looks like Jordan Caroline, their guard, is going to play, but we'll see how healthy he really is. Florida, I mean, playing some of their best basketball down the season. And, you know, if they don't have a questionable call go against them, in the Auburn game, who knows? I mean, they might have been playing in the SEC championship game. They're a little inconsistent, but with that being said, it's a team that's covered four in a row, a team that's used to playing top-flight competition, you know, game in and game out. I'm going to take the Gators. I actually took them in my bracket to advance. So they won the game outright.
I like Florida here, too. And that's what I mean about this line coming down. I know there's a lot of public-driven line moves going on right now. This one feels of the sharper variety to me because this Nevada team, I mean, look, it's hard to say that the Nevada team, it's 29-4, has underachieved on the season, but they really have.
They have.
I mean, the only time I feel like they've flipped the switch and stepped up is when they had a point to prove, like blowing out San Diego State in the regular season rematch, blowing out New Mexico in the rematch there. I just don't think that you can flip the switch like that in March Madness as a team that's a mid-major like Nevada that, as you just mentioned, really hasn't played a significant schedule. And now they run into a Florida team, really good, really well-coached year in and year out from a much better conference. And I haven't seen it from Nevada. I know that there's a bunch of individual talent there. I don't know if Musselman's not maximizing it. I don't know if they're not playing as a unit. I don't know what it is. But this team has underachieved, and I will not trust them in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough trust. I mean, they're 1-7 against the number of the last eight games, coming down a senior-laden team. You thinking wanting to make a statement last go-around, they haven't. And I'll have to dive through it, but I have to think, I mean, if you're blindly betting against Nevada in the first half, it's a very slow-starting team, and they started this stuff at the end of last season. Very slow starters, so if you're betting against Nevada in the first half, but then, I mean, playing on them in the second half, they don't put a complete performance together. Very rarely do they. Even in the San Diego State game, I think if you'd have taken San Diego State plus the points in the first half, you would have covered, even though Nevada ended up winning the game by 30. They're maddeningly inconsistent. For a very mature team, we've seen them have breakdowns. We all saw the tape after the Utah State loss, very emotional. That, to me, that's more of a freshman-sophomore-dominated team, not a team as experienced as Nevada. I don't like them here, and again, I think they bow out. Florida takes care of business.
For the second straight year, Michigan plays Montana in the first game. This time it's the 2-15 game here. Michigan shouldn't have any problems with Montana. I mean, I guess you can argue it's a revenge spot for Montana as a 15.5-point dog. For Michigan, obviously, they're looking ahead to the next game, wondering if they're going to get Nevada or Florida. What do you think about the Wolverines here? I mean, obviously made that huge run in the Big Ten tournament last year, carried that over to the NCAA tournament, made it all the way to the finals. They're going to get a tough draw in this 7-10 game. I think Texas Tech or Buffalo or even Arizona State, with the talent that they have, tough Sweet 16 game. How far does Michigan go for you?
Yeah, I don't like them. I think they get upset second round, whether they play Florida or Nevada. Michigan's not very deep. We saw them run out of gas from time and time again, specifically in the Michigan State games where they blew second-half leads in all three of those contests. I think the Wolverines are in the bottom 10 when it comes to bench minutes, meaning that they don't utilize the bench much here. So, to me, when you got a big favorite and you got a team that's depth-shy, I wonder if they conserve minutes a little bit for some of their starters in this game that they get them ready for what's going to be a very tough second-round game no matter who they play. Now, I'm on the Montana side here. They relatively played with Michigan last year. I think they lost by 14, so they're not going to be overwhelmed by the Wolverines. And, Michigan, record looks good, especially when they're not playing Michigan State, but I don't have the same positive vibes that I got from Michigan coming out of that tournament, the Big Ten tournament last year. This year's team, there's just some things missing with this year's team, and I'll be on the Grizz here, plus the 15.5.
All right, well, I guess since you said that you're kind of going through your bracket already, nobody else really mentioned it too much on the show. Who's your final four? Who's your national champion?
I'm going to go with Duke. That's not going to, be a major shock.
Wow,
Way
to go out on a limb, dude.
Although something tells me if they play Michigan State in that Elite Eight, gimme on Michigan State. I know Michigan State's had a couple of injuries, but, a very senior-laden team, not afraid to muck it up. I think they'll punch Duke in the face there. So, if Michigan State gets there in the Elite Eight, I think that's a very tough matchup for Duke. But I'll take the Blue Devils. I'm on the other side of the bracket. Yeah, I like Kentucky. I think Kentucky just blew it against Tennessee. Otherwise, I think the Wildcats would have been a one seed. They already beat North Carolina earlier this year. Yeah, I like Kentucky, Duke, and boy, again, not going with too much. Definitely going chalk there. Duke Kentucky national championship game.
Does Virginia make the Final Four?
You know, I think they got a relatively good draw. I mean, in their region, the South, a lot of these teams are very similar style to Virginia. Very slow tempo, you know, grind it out defensively. And Virginia's just the best of the bunch when it comes to that style of play. So they don't face, I don't think they're going to face a team with a lot of length, a team that can really get after them as far as transition that sometimes Virginia struggles with. Now, I honestly think they're going to face Oregon, a 12 seed in the Sweet 16. That's how much I like the Ducks. You know, I really think the only time they start struggling is maybe the Elite Eight round if they face the Tennessee. If the Volunteers come out of there, that would be the first legitimate offense that could give Virginia some trouble. And Tennessee's not overwhelming when it comes to size, but an experienced team. Yeah, I think with everyone really doubting Virginia, I think this might be the one year that they finally break through.
All right, and then what about in the West? I mean, are you a Gonzaga guy? Are you a Florida State guy? Texas Tech, somebody from the bottom?
Yeah, I think that if there's one bracket where it's not chalky, it is the West. If Gonzaga plays Florida State, I think that's a very tough matchup for the Zags. I mean, ask them last year when Florida State took them out in the Sweet 16. You know, I'll take Texas Tech. I think defensively is a team that can be very dangerous and maybe come out of there. I really like the Zags, but I just think they got a tough draw, not only against Florida State in the Sweet 16, but also against Syracuse. And round number two is going to be a very tough spot for them. You know, I kind of like Texas Tech coming out of there as a three seed, but I do think that's the bracket where we're going to see some multiple upsets.
Brad Powers, professional handicapper over at bradpowerssports.com. What's going on over there right now, man?
Yeah, right now, if you're looking to get the March Madness package, you'll get daily email updates. That's VIP service. So not only are you going to get NCAA tournament action, of course, you'll get NIT, CBI, CIT. It's $99 for the rest of the season, all the way through the national championship game. So 3-plus weeks of action. Again, every single tournament, every single pick, $99. How we done this year? Not too shabby. 57% on every single college basketball pick we have released here in the last, 3 months or so. I think a sample size of nearly 200 games, 57%. That's winning, last I checked. So check it out, bradpowersports.com, $99 for the March Madness VIP package.
And make sure that you follow Brad on Twitter, at bradpowers and the number 7. Brad, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll chat with you again next week.
All right, take care, my friend. Enjoy the tournament.